so awesome and divine. I love that song, We Are One. So my name is Barbara Guillory, and I am here to bring the welcome this morning. Dr. Bob is taking a very well-deserved day off. We got a treat for you guys this morning. We have a guest minister, not really like a guest minister. She's been here like on a regular basis, Reverend Cynthia Paulson, and she will be bringing the message as it relates to the divine naturally. We are naturally divine, so we are in for a treat. I'd like to read the CSL Midtown Vision Statement in this welcome this morning. It defines who we are as one. We are one. We are a strong, open, globally connected community centered on the clarity of principle. Through teaching, service, and practice, we create a safe and respectable environment that supports healthy spiritual growth. And I can pretty much say that is what has been the case. I have been here for a very long time, like really over 25 years. I'm gonna just throw out that number. The next thing that we will go to is our declaration of principle. So we're queued up.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
The principles, universal principles, is what we are using as our guide in life. The CSL Midtown Church is supported and it survives on the volunteerism of our members. So we are very thankful to have the members. Some you see, some you don't, but volunteers, we certainly do appreciate you. Vance, Lynn, and a few others. We also have our practitioners who have studied, they've gone to school, they are tested, and again, on a continuous basis in order to make certain that the learning is up to date. This morning, our volunteer practitioner is Maya Fuller. Maya has not just been a volunteer practitioner, but she has embraced this teaching in her life. And not only does Maya volunteer, she's gotten her husband role. Again, you see the technology. It's just a number of things that happen behind the scenes. And again, I'd just like to just say thank you to our volunteers. But again, I'd like to present to you Maya Fuller.
Thank you, Barbara. Good morning, CSL Midtown, with your fine and divine selves. The discussion topic for this week is Naturally Divine. When I saw the topic title, my mind immediately went to what is widely acclaimed as one of Ernest Holmes' greatest contributions to his students, and in fact, to the entire New Thought metaphysical tradition, Ernest Holmes' format for affirmative prayer. We know it by the name of spiritual mind treatment. The cornerstone, the very foundation of both the New Thought teaching, of which Centers for Spiritual Living and Religious Science are branches, and the cornerstone and foundation for spiritual mind treatment is that we are naturally divine. Here at Centers for Spiritual Living, we teach what being naturally divine means as us, what it means for us, and how we can use it to live richer, fuller, more prosperous lives. And that's what I want to spend a few minutes this morning discussing with you. The naturally divine as the foundation and the basis of the Science of Mind teachings, and more particularly as the basis and foundation of spiritual mind treatment. The reason that being aware of this is important for us is because spiritual mind treatment is the primary transformational process that CSL offers us. It is the major tool that we here in religious science use to align with the highest truth so that we can realize, demonstrate, and experience the highest good in our body, life, world, and affairs. As a licensed practitioner, I get a lot of experience in moving through the mental steps of spiritual mind treatment because, like you, I treat for myself. But as CSL practitioners, we've also volunteered to do spiritual mind treatment for others. Whether you use this method, this tool of spiritual mind treatment to manifest and demonstrate for yourself alone or for others as well, it behooves us all to understand the pivotal role that the nature of the divine, the nature of the creator, plays in the treatment process. The entire treatment process is based on the nature of the divine and our oneness with it. So there are 5 simple steps in spiritual mind treatment. It's not complicated. Everyone can do them very briefly. Step 1 is called recognition. Step 2 is called unification. Step 3 is called realization. Step 4 is called thanksgiving. Step 5 is release. The first 2 steps, recognition and unification, are the ones we're focusing on here because they deal directly with the nature of the divine. Step 3, realization, is about detailing what you want to see happen. And steps 4 and 5 are just as described, thanksgiving and release. So let's take a look at steps 1 and 2, the recognition step and the unification step. In step 1 of spiritual mind treatment, the recognition step, we recognize the qualities of God, the omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence of the one presence, one power that constitutes the entirety of all existence in all places ever. That presence, that power is what we call God, creator, the divine, etc. You know all the names. On page 36 of the Science of Mind textbook, Holmes writes, "The original life is infinite. It is good. It is filled with peace. It is of the essence of purity. It is the ultimate of intelligence. It is power. It is law. It is life." Not only is this recognition of the one power the first step of spiritual mind treatment, it is also the foundational principle of this entire Science of Mind teaching. In fact, it's the basis of all New Thought teaching. The recognition and awareness of the nature of God is the foundation of all that we do as metaphysicians. The second step of spiritual mind treatment is also the second foundational principle of New Thought metaphysics and of Science of Mind. The second principle and second step in the prayer treatment formula, called unification, can be described as a stage where we recognize the divinity of mankind. In the first step, we acknowledge that there is only God, nothing else. So in the second step, we understand and state that we cannot be separated from this onlyness, this oneness, this God. The unification stage is where we recognize, acknowledge, and accept that the divine shows up through us as us. It is in this ever-important stage we get an acute awareness that we are expressions of the infinite, children of God. We are made of, pressed out of God, the divine. And just like the cookie that is pressed out of the cookie dough is comprised of the same elements of the dough out of which it is shaped, formed, and pressed out, We are comprised of the very nature of God that we are shaped, formed, and pressed out of. Just like the nature of a cookie, no matter its shape, which oven it's baked in, or how it's decorated, or where it has traveled, or what other cookies it comes into contact with, if it gets chipped or broken, regardless of all appearances, the cookie's nature is still that of the cookie dough it was first pressed out of. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it's been through, no matter what it has done, it is still sugar and spice and everything nice. The nature of the cookie never changes. It always remains true to and one with the substance of which it was made. And just like the cookie is made of sugar and spices and everything nice, the nature of God is good. So we are good. We can never be separated from the infinite good that we are made from. We are pressed out of the divine, so we are divine. On page 33 of The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes writes, "There is that which in us which partakes of the nature of the divine being. And since it partakes of the nature of the divine being, we are divine." So our work in prayer treatment is to move beyond the appearances that make us believe that we are separate from our good. Or, for example, to move beyond the idea that other people, aka other cookies, are somehow more or less equipped or valuable or worthy or inherently good than we are. But instead, to know the truth of our divine nature and walk and live and move and have our being in the awareness of that truth. And so, like I said earlier, in the third step of treatment, called the realization step, we affirm that because of the omnipotent, omnipresent goodness of the divine, we realize in step one, and because we can never be separated from this goodness, which we became aware of in step two, we confidently affirm in step three that what we are seeking is right here and right now available to us. So we just say it. We just make plain the good that we desire to see demonstrated. So you see, the first two steps are pivotal in the spiritual mind treatment process because it is through the power that the awareness of the first two steps brings us that we are confidently able to declare and affirm in step three the good that we intend to see show up in our body, life, world, and affairs. So in steps three, we simply describe our desire because at that point, we are already in a state of mind that we know that we are one with the power that makes all things because we are naturally divine. And like we said, in step four, spiritual mind treatment, we give thanks for what we have that what we have declared is already done and will show up in the physical. And in step five, the final step of spiritual mind treatment, we let go of the prayer and let God and the law make it happen. So let's move into a spiritual mind treatment of our own. The treatment will be for us to have greater awareness of who we are as spiritual beings. It will be very brief, so it will be easy for us to identify the five steps. Let's begin. So we're taking this time right now to recognize the one presence, one power in the universe, infinite intelligent life, God, the good omnipotent. This God, this good is everywhere present. There is no place where this goodness, this power of God is not. So since the good omnipotent, since God, the good omnipotent, the creator, is present in all of creation, is present right here, right now, in me, through me, as me. This creative power for good is present in everyone, everywhere, in us, through us, as us, right now. So I speak these words to know the truth that each one of us here becomes more and more steeped in the awareness and realization of who and what we are as spiritual beings. Every day, our consciousness of our divine nature is made more and more clear to us. We stand in the clarity and the knowledge that the good we seek is present at all times. All we need to do is think the thought or speak the word of good we desire, believing that we receive and the good that we seek is done unto us, pressed out of the divine and shows up for us to enjoy on this physical plane. We give thanks that this expanded consciousness that we seek is at hand and we release it into the law so that it may be done. And together as a community of faith, we declare, and so it is. If you would like to learn more about how to acquire or maintain a deeper awareness of what's available to you and tapping into your natural divinity, we invite you, valued participant of the CSL Midtown Atlanta Spiritual Community, to do two things. Number one, take out some paper and a writing utensil and sit in rapt attention, ready to take notes, because you are sure to hear something that can be transformational for your life as we are about to be blessed with what we know will be a dynamic, deep, and enjoyable message from our cherished community member, the illustrious Reverend Cynthia Paulson. And number two, the second action that CSL Midtown is inviting you to is to keep that paper and pencil handy and bring it along with you to class beginning Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. Eastern. Dr. Bob Dean has created a dynamic course that has the potential to be pivotal for you in your journey to becoming masterful and channeling your divine nature. The class is called The Everyday Mystic. Discounted pricing for the early bird registration is still available when you register by September 1st. Now, it is time for you to grab that paper and that pen for Reverend Cynthia's talk. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the music.
The divine and that teaching that was outstanding. So as I said earlier before, we have a guest minister that will bring insight, enlightenment to the naturally divine. Few questions I'm going to share with you. What is the truth behind our human nature? Even if we believe that all humans are naturally divine, what does that really mean? Can we consciously recognize this nature in others, in ourselves? I'd like to bring up our guest minister, Reverend Cynthia Paulson. She is an interfaith minister and a divine science practitioner student. So let's explore these questions. Let's explore ourselves. Let's explore our divinity together with our guest speaker, Reverend Cynthia Paulson. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Maya. I feel like Maya needs to be up on this podium someday. She is fantastic. I'm so happy to be here. I have been a guest speaker with you guys for a couple years and never in person. So it's just a real treat to be able to be here in person with you all. So thank you for having me. Thank you for tuning in online and for being here today. So the theme for this whole month, if you guys have been tuning in with Dr. Bob or coming to see him, the whole month of August has been about the wonder of nature. And Dr. Bob has talked about various things, forces of nature, the different elements of nature, and animals. Remember, he was talking about the creepy crawlies and the planet and our relationship to the planet. And today's topic uses the word nature a little differently. I'm going to talk about the wonder of our human nature, which is kind of an interesting phrase. Why is it when you hear someone say, oh, that's just human nature, it's almost never said in a positive way? Have you ever noticed that? You never hear that saying after something positive happens, you know, like when someone's being compassionate or showing kindness. It's always after someone's being cruel or, you know, really competitive or mob mentality. That's when you hear, you know, oh, that's just human nature. No, it's not, right? Our human nature is that we are naturally divine, full of the goodness of spirit. That's what we're made of. That is what's true. It is like when Dr. Bob tells us often at the beginning of the service, I'm sure you've heard him say before, such is the nature of life and the nature of spirit that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to show up. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. We hear this almost every week, this reminder, and we nod our heads in agreement. Yes, I am an expression of the divine. That is my nature. Yes, I am the opportunity to show up as spirit. What does that really mean? When I was thinking about this, I had this ridiculous thought, as if we have all been invited to the costume party of life, and we're all showing up in our various costumes, just like we would at Halloween, right? I'm showing up as a vampire. I'm coming as a witch. I'm going to show up as spirit. What would you even wear if you were going to show up as spirit? You wouldn't have to wear anything special at all, I suppose. You could just come as you are because you're an expression of spirit naturally, simply because you exist. You're naturally divine. Okay, so carrying this metaphor a bit further, how would people know who you are at this costume party of life? If you aren't dressed in any outwardly visible costume, people would have to recognize you by your behavior and your nature. And that can prove to be a bit tricky and challenging. How do we know how to behave in ways that are expressing our true divine nature? I have to tell you this story. When I was in elementary school, I'm thinking it was about second grade, my class had a Halloween party. This was back when, you know, teachers could get away with having Halloween parties. I don't even think they let you do that anymore. Of course, we were all in our costumes and we bobbed for apples. That's showing you how old I am. And we had treats and we had candy and we played games. And one of the games we played went like this. The teacher would tape a piece of paper onto your back with a character written on it. And you didn't get to see what the paper said. And the class would give you clues about who your character was to get you to guess who you were. And I remember loving this game. We were having so much fun. I was a smart kid, and I just knew that I was going to know exactly who I was when it was my turn. So finally, my turn came, and the teacher put the paper on my back, and the class started giving me clues. And I was ready. And I was listening and listening. And I had never been so frustrated in all my 8 years of life. I don't remember what my classmates said exactly, but I definitely remember having no idea what they were talking about. I didn't know who the character was they were describing. Nothing they said made any sense at all. And they were frustrated too, and some of them were kind of mean and thought I was being dumb for not knowing who my character was. So finally, the class just gave up, and the teacher gave up. And she took the paper off my back and just handed it to me in this sad little game over for you move. And to this day, I will never forget what the paper said. It said Flash Gordon. I'm sure I wanted to scream out, who the heck is Flash Gordon? See, I had never heard of Flash Gordon. I had never read a comic book in my life. And I don't think I've still ever read a comic book. I had never seen the movie. I guess there was a movie out about Flash Gordon. I remember wanting to cry, and I distinctly remember wanting another turn. This wasn't fair. How could I possibly know who I was if I had never even heard of the person I was supposed to be? I had never been exposed to comic books. I had never seen the Flash Gordon movie. So I'll say it again. How could I possibly know the truth of who I was if I didn't even know anything about that character or that person? Similarly, how can we really express our divine nature if we don't spend a little time learning about this nature? You have to know what God's nature is if you're going to fully express it. What is divine nature? I have been studying this, so I'm so excited about today's topic. Last year, as Barbara mentioned, I began the Spiritual Practitioner Training Program with the Divine Science School of Metaphysical Christianity. Big, long, fancy name. But essentially, divine science, for those of you who might not know, is really one of the precursors to religious science, which we know today as Centers for Spiritual Living. In fact, Ernest Holmes was an ordained divine science minister when he did his work and wrote Science of Mind. So it's all very familiar New Thought stuff. So one of the main principles and foundations of divine science is this idea that because of our oneness with God, we naturally inherit the attributes and inherencies of God. Divine science defines these inherencies, these fixed characteristics of the divine, as wisdom, love, knowledge, understanding, power, life, and joy. They list other attributes of the divine, such as peace, health, wholeness, harmony, abundance. You know what I'm talking about. There are many more attributes of the divine. I call these words the God words. So I want you to think for a moment about what these words mean to you in your life. How are you naturally expressing these things? Wisdom, love, knowledge, understanding, power, life, joy, peace, health, harmony, wholeness, abundance. These attributes and qualities are our divine nature. They are our truth. They are the truth of our being. One of the reasons we want to pay attention to our divine nature, to these God words, and study them and meditate on them is so we can recognize them not only in ourselves, but in others. It can be challenging to see these traits in ourselves, and it can be really challenging sometimes to see them in others. Last week, my husband and I were fortunate, and we got to travel to Nevada and have this great vacation visiting family and friends in Reno. And we had to take several flights to get there and back. And let me tell you, traveling in airports and standing in lines at security and getting on and off planes, you have many opportunities to be aware of your divine nature and to try and see this divine nature in others. At one point, we were in a long, winding security line, and we kept passing this one family as the line moves. You know, you zigzag through the lines. And it was a mom and a dad and two young boys, probably about 4 and 8 years old. And here's what we noticed immediately. The parents were whiners. In their defense, it was about 4:30 in the morning, you know, those 6 a.m. flights. But still, the dad was complaining about how he didn't get enough sleep the night before, and the hotel they had been staying at was dusty, and he was up coughing all night, and on and on. And So we moved through the line and then we crossed their path again. And this time the mom was complaining that why do they only have one TSA checkpoint open and they really need to open a second one. And so we moved through the line and the next time we passed them, one of the little boys was whining and he says to his dad, why do we have to stay in this line? And the father said to him, stop whining. Nobody wants to hear your whining. And we were cracking up. And of course, I had today's sermon on in the back of my mind, and this family made me think about how some of our human nature we learn from our parents and from our childhood experiences. Now, those boys may very well grow up to have a whining, negative, complaining nature like their parents, because that's what they're being exposed to. That's what's being modeled for them. How we're raised influences our personality, our temperament, and our nature. But when we're adults, and especially when we're spiritual seekers, like those of us here in the room and those of you watching online, we know that no matter what we think our human nature is, we always have the opportunity to become self-aware and recognize our true nature, our true divine nature, because that's what we really are. It takes conscious effort to bring this into our awareness. Ernest Holmes reminds us of this in The Science of Mind, and Maya used the same quote, great minds think alike. He said, there is that within us which partakes of the nature of the divine being, and since it partakes of the nature of the divine being, we are divine. That is a big statement that can lead to one of those aha moments. I recently had an aha moment along these same lines when I read 9 little words in the Divine Science textbook and they knocked my socks off. It said, what is true of God is true of me. Will you say that with me out loud and proud? What is true of God is true of me. Don't you just get goosebumps when you say that? What is true of God is true of me. When I think about that and take that into prayer or meditation, it makes me want to sit up a little straighter, walk a little taller. Like maybe I have a responsibility to understand my divine nature and step into this truth of who I really am. Oddly enough, I feel like the royal family in England is an amusing little illustration of this. A few months ago, back in June, they held the Platinum Jubilee for Queen Elizabeth. God bless her. She is 96 years old. And this year, she celebrated being on the throne for 70 years. And there were performances and parades and just this giant celebration. And they brought her out on her royal balcony where she sat with her royal family. But the real star of the show, if you caught any of the news stories, was 4-year-old Prince Louis, one of the Queen's great-grandsons. He is the son of Prince William and Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge. And if you saw the videos of the celebration that went viral, Prince Louis was acting up during the Jubilee. He was fussing and making faces and talking back to his mom and generally misbehaving. Now, in the videos, you couldn't hear what he and his mother were saying to each other, but they interviewed some lip readers to see if they could tell. And according to these lip readers, she was telling him, stop it. Watch the parade. And he was saying, I don't want to. And she told him, you have to. One could certainly imagine the deeper meaning she was conveying to him, the deeper meaning that is probably taught to all the royals when they are children. You know who you are. Be aware of your lineage. You are royalty. Choose to behave accordingly. Now, setting aside the whole royal bloodline illustration, you realize we can all trace our lineage directly to spirit, our source. Keeping our true divine nature in our conscious awareness inspires us to accept our role as expressions of God and expressions of spirit. We could consider this our job, our responsibility, our duty, but I like to think of it more as our choice, an amazing opportunity, and really our great honor. I want to wrap this up today with just part of a famous quote from Marianne Williamson, one of my favorite authors. You might have heard this before. She says, "It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us." We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. Friends, that is our divine nature. That is what we're here to recognize, understand, express, and radiate. So today is a great check-in. Check in with your divine self. Let it express, let it shine. Let's use today's service as a launching point. The call to action here is to be sure that you're making every effort to fulfill your divine potential by being consciously aware of your divine nature, of those God words, wisdom, love, knowledge, understanding, power, life, joy, peace, health, wholeness, harmony, abundance. How are you going to show up as spirit today? Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for having me. And we're going to have Vance talk about ways that you can support CSL Midtown.
Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. What an awesome talk this morning from everybody. We did a great service today. So in that thought process, we have an opportunity to give. You can donate online at www.cslmidtown.org. Donate here in the room. You can click, once the barcode comes up, on our affirmation of prosperity. Click on the QR code and you can get there and do that. And if you would, say with me our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And Maya did most of the announcements earlier. She said there's a class coming up. Take notes. That's awesome. So go to the website, cslmidtown.org or .com. Either one gets you to the same place. And sign up for the class. And then we'll join you on Zoom after the service. For those of you on Zoom, Reverend Cynthia will answer questions. And so do you want to do the affirmation of life, or I can do that? Yeah. All right. So.
And Reverend Dr. Bob will be back next week. All right. So I will close us out with our affirmation of life. Would you read this loud and proud with me? I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is.